I can see Bonnie's almost to 100%. She's made it up front. Praise God. All right. This morning, I titled this message, God's in Control. Amen. Originally, I had it as, So Thankful God is in Control. Are you trusting God to be in control of your life? See, because when you trust God, you won't have to worry. You'll be in good hands. Or should I say, you'll be in God's hands. You can open up to Matthew chapter 6. So the question really is, to trust or not to trust? That is the question. Especially with a whole spectrum of possibilities that is made between the two choices. One will give you peace of mind, the other will cause you to worry. And then you will go from worry to worry your whole life through. So we too often worry about troubles that even haven't happened and probably won't. But when trouble does come, who are you going to call on? Jesus. And here's what Jesus has to say about it. You're there in Matthew chapter 6, verse 34. He says, Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. The word worry here in the Greek is the word maranatō. It means to be anxious, to be concerned, to be troubled with cares. So keep that in mind through this message. Now the Message Bible, the same verse, verse 34 of Matthew 6, says, Give your entire attention to what God is doing right now. And don't get worked up about what may or may not happen tomorrow. God will help you deal with whatever hard things come up when the time comes. Yeah. But what if? What about the what ifs? If is such a small word. Okay? Well, if is a supposition, condition, requirement, stipulation, or uncertain possibility. Those little what-ifs are never innocent like they seem. They are tenacious stealers of valuable time. See, in an intimate relationship, time is a precious commodity that should be spent on the focus of the other person with whom you are in the relationship with. When you became born again, you entered into a relationship with Jesus, and our focus should be on Him. Our Bible tells us to let the what-ifs worry about the what-ifs. Let the what-ifs sit around wasting their time talking about what most assuredly isn't going to happen if you trust God. That sounds like a fabulous idea, doesn't it? Yeah. And that's exactly what every believer should do. After all, birds of a feather flock together. So let the what-ifs hang out with the what-ifs. And let them worry about it. Because the Lord said to Paul, My grace is sufficient for you. And that's exactly what He's telling us today. He's telling you and I, He's telling you, My grace is sufficient for you. His grace. So we need to realize once and forever, God's grace is greater than any problem that we will ever face. Any problem. It's certainly biblical. We just read it, didn't we? That's what His Word says. My grace is sufficient for you. then tell me, why do so many people let so many things get to them all the time? All the time. That's why Jesus said, therefore, do not marinato about things. Worry. Because when we worry, we make it about the capabilities of self. See, we try to make it about right living and about right doing. All the things we think we can control instead of right believing. It's like we say thanks, but no thanks. No wonder there's so much drama in life. Because as soon as the thought of no thanks enters someone's mind, drama starts to be manufactured. I'll do it my way. No. See, God in His most infinite wisdom has provided the answer to worry-free living. Look to verse 25. I'm going to read down to verse 33. Therefore, I say to you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air, for they neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns. Yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not more valuable than they? Which of you by worrying can add one cubit to his stature? So why do you worry about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. And yet I say to you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Now, if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is, and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you? O you of little faith. That means lack of trust. To trust or not to trust? That is the question. Therefore, do not worry, maranato, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For after all these things the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. But seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. Right there, verse 33. Seek first the kingdom of God. Look to verse 9 in Matthew 6 here. Matthew 9. And we're going to read 9 through 13. This is Jesus on prayer. Prayer is important. Prayer is very important. Especially when you gather together in corporate prayer. It's even more powerful. Verse 9. In this manner, therefore, pray, our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For yours is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever. Amen. The prayer is comprised of six requests. The first three ask for the kingdom to come. And the last three are for God to meet the needs of His people until the kingdom comes. Priorities. Priorities. Jesus is making sure that we got our priorities in the proper order. Kingdom first, and everything else will come into place. But seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all the things that you need, He will make sure that you get them. Now, verses 31 through 33, New Living Translation. So don't worry about these things. Saying, I want to stop right there. Saying, you're not supposed to be saying these things. Words are powerful. Our words are powerful. What will we eat? We shouldn't even be considering asking you that question. Any of you starving? What are you going to drink? Nick brings his own bottle with him everywhere he goes, so he's always got something to drink. We've always got something to drink, right? Even if it's through reverse osmosis. What will we wear? Oh, you look pretty good to me. Look like you're dressed in nice attire. These things dominate the thoughts of unbelievers. You are believers, right? Then you shouldn't take any thoughts for these. Because it says, but your heavenly Father already knows all your needs. Seek the kingdom of God above all else and live righteously, and He will give you everything you need. Jesus tells us our heavenly Father knows every need that we have. He knows all of our needs, down to the smallest detail. He knows what we need. That's why He tells you, okay? Seek first the kingdom of God above all else and live righteously. And He says, He will give you everything you need. Everything you need. See, every now and then, we should chronicle what happens in our lives. You know, write down the struggles, write down the deliverance from the struggles, and the blessings of life produced from the faith displayed while going through the struggle. And it's amazing when you start to write down all the things God has blessed you with, you realize how good God is. Because we know that God is good all the time. And all the time, God is good. The answer to stress-free, worry-free living is to seek God, seek out what He's all about, and trust Him. And we are to seek Him diligently, for He is a rewarder of those who do diligently seek Him out. You can turn to Matthew chapter 11. I'm going to read verses 28 through 30, but I'm going to read them from the Message Bible. Now remember, this is Jesus speaking. He says, are you tired, worn out, burned out on religion? Come to me. Jesus is stressing relationship here, not religion. Get away with me and you'll recover your life. You accept Jesus as your Lord and you no longer have a death sentence over you. You'll recover your life. I'll show you how to take a real rest. Walk with me and work with me. Watch how I do it. Learn the unforced rhythms of grace. I won't lay anything heavy or ill-fitting on you. Keep company with me, and you'll learn to live freely and lightly. Freely. That means you will not be bound. Nothing will be binding you up. And lightly? That means there's nothing heavy on you. You don't have to carry it. You know what it's like when you carry a burden? How heavy you feel? Run down? Well, with Jesus, and you give Him the burden, you feel as light as a feather. You're just promping around. But now I want you to the unforced rhythms of grace. See, it's what drummers call being in the groove. As a drummer, it's when you're feeling the rhythm so deeply that you're almost obligated to say, not too fast, nor too slow. Am I right, Ted? Bob? Kyle? You guys beat the drums. When you're feeling that rhythm, it's you flowing. The unforced rhythms of grace, the groove, happens when you find the right rhythm of yes and no. Selah. You don't have to reinvent the wheel every time. The what-if drama of life knocks on your door, wanting to move into the spare bedroom of your thought process. God invented the wheel, and it's called the unforced rhythms of grace. So you are to roll with it because it has been specially created to help you at every juncture of life. Grace. One word from God is all you need. Now you've heard that from this pulpit many times from Pastor Bannon. One word is all it takes. One word will change everything for you. One word from God. If you will let God, if you will give Him the chance, He will show you His capabilities. We, if we will admit it, know our limitations, don't we? Our limitations are small and insignificant in nature. See, no amount of effort or worry on our part will ever increase our limited capabilities. We, though, also on the other hand, know that God's abilities are limitless. However, if we don't believe that He wants to do a work in our lives, we will never give Him the freedom to go beyond what we can believe Him for. Worry ties God's hands in our lives. Faith sets Him free to do things for us. And do you know what God likes to do for us in our lives when we untie His hands with our faith? Well, there's not enough pen or pencil and paper to write down and record it, especially what God is willing to do for someone willing to believe, and have faith in Him. Only believe. All things are possible. Only believe. That's what His Word says. Only believe. Turn to Ephesians chapter 3. Ephesians chapter 3. And I want to read verse 20. It says, now to Him, we're talking about Jesus here, who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us. The power that works in us is the power of the Holy Spirit, the same Spirit that was in Jesus Christ when He walked on this earth, healing the sick. When He laid hands on, that was through the power of the Holy Spirit. That same Spirit is in you. When you lay hands on somebody believing, guess what? They're going to get healed. Especially if you can get them into agreement with the prayer and believe. The same Spirit, that same power is in you that was in Jesus when He walked on this earth. He gave it to us. Do you believe that? Then when you do things, expect them to happen. Expect. When you go to Him, expect it. When it's lined up with His will. Well, sometimes I don't know how to pray with His will. Well, pray in the Holy Ghost. You will come in line with what He wants you to pray for. That's why He gave you the ability to pray and speak in tongues. Well, I don't understand it. Well, you don't have to. He does. Because the Holy Spirit knows His will. He knows the Father's will better than you ever will. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Well, neither God's love nor His power is limited by our imaginations. So I'm telling you, expand your imagination. Kick it up a couple notches. What do you have to lose? You have nothing to lose. You have everything to gain. You want to be healed and whole? Think about it. That's your choice. You got to trust and believe in His Word. Nothing wavering. I don't care how you feel. I don't care what you see when you're looking at the mirror. You look at it and say, yeah, I know that's what I'm seeing, but I know what I'm believing. And I'm believing that I'm whole, delivered, and set free. Because His Word says, by His stripes I am healed and made whole. Hallelujah. Now, Matthew Henry, this is what he said, and I quote him. He says, God is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think. There is an inexhaustible fullness of grace and mercy in God, which the prayers of all the saints can never draw dry. Whatever we may ask or think to ask, still, God is still able to do more. Abundantly more, exceedingly abundantly more. Open thy mouth ever so wide, still He hath with wherewithal, which means resources, to fill it. He has the resources. It's His Word. Let it come out of your mouths. Don't speak what you see, speak the Word. Don't speak how you feel. Speak the Word. What did Brother Dean teach a while back? Don't speak about the mountain. Speak to it in the name of Jesus. Tell it to be cast into the sea. Because when it goes into the sea, it sinks and you can't see it no more. That's why He said to say it that way. Everyone cares about the poverty level of mankind in this world. See, no one wants to see anybody suffering lack. But it comes, and it is a completely different story when it comes to our spiritual poverty. We choose to worry and to trust only in self and don't trust in God's endless capabilities. See, even though by the world standards we may achieve some form of success, we are spiritually starving ourselves to death. There are far too many spiritually malnutritioned Christians in this world. Anytime you rely on anything other than God, whatever you choose to trust in becomes your source. Be it self, be it your job, be it your spouse, your parents, your doctors, or your own knowledge and understanding. Turn to Proverbs chapter 3. Proverbs chapter 3. Let's see what the wise king, King Solomon, has to say here. They say he was the wisest man to walk on the earth. There was one man that was wiser. His name was Jesus. Okay. Proverbs chapter 3, I'm going to read verses 5 through 10 here. 5 through 10. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct your path. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. It will be health to your flesh and strength to your bones. Honor the Lord with your possessions and the first fruits of all your increase, so your barns will be filled with plenty and your vats will overflow with new wine. He tells us, lean not on your own understanding. See, sometimes we like to lean on everything but what we know we should lean on. And when we do, that leads to nothing but trouble, unrest, and you're not in peace. But there is such a peace that only God can give when we finally place all we have in His hands. You're in good hands when you are in God's hands. Turn to Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4. Verses 6 and 7. Be anxious for nothing. Same Greek word, maranao. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And then what? It says, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. The peace of God will protect your mind from external corruption and will keep it focused on God's truth. God's truth is the absolute truth. Let me bring some clarification to that for you. Absolute truth is something that is true at all times and in all places. It is something that is always true no matter what the circumstances. It is a fact that cannot be changed. Cannot be changed. You want a simple example? A very simple example. There are no round squares. Is that not a truth? That's an absolute truth. It cannot be changed. God's truth is absolute truth. Do not doubt the power of the words that He's given us to speak over the struggles, the problems, the situations, the circumstances. Speak the word only. Speak the word only. The more you speak it, the more you believe it. Because faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Proverbs 3, 5 through 10, Message Bible version. Trust God from the bottom of your heart. Don't try to figure out everything on your own. Listen for God's voice in everything you do, everywhere you go. He's the one who will keep you on track. Don't assume you know it all. Run to God. Run from evil. Your body will glow with health. Your very bones will vibrate with life. Honor God with everything you own. Give Him the first and the best. Your barns will burst. Your wine vats will brim over. You have concerns today? Take your concerns and give them to the Lord. Yeah, but what if? Again with the what ifs. I know that's what happens. It jumps right in there. You know, Mr. What If has been around too long. He needs to be evicted. Turn to 1 Peter. 1 Peter chapter 5. And you know, I'm having you turn there, but I'm going to read that out of the Amplified Bible. Because I know Dean loves the Amplified Classic Edition. Let me clarify that. Classic Edition. 1 Peter 5, 7 through 9. Casting the whole of your care, all your anxieties, all your worries, all your concerns, once and for all your marinados, on Him, for He cares for you affectionately and cares about you watchfully. Be well balanced, temperate, sober of mind, be vigilant and cautious at all times. For that enemy of yours, he's naming him, the devil, roams around like a lion, roaring in fierce hunger, seeking someone to seize upon and devour. Withstand him, be firm in the faith against his onset, rooted, established, strong, immovable, determined, knowing that the same identical sufferings are appointed to your brotherhood, the whole body of Christians throughout the world. So you think you're the only one going through something? I don't think so. It says no, the brotherhood throughout the world is getting it the same identical way. That's why we are to pray one for another. When you put all your focus on the things that concern you, that's exactly what the devil wants. He wants you distracted. Because when he gets you distracted and gets you off the word, he can bring defeat upon you. And we know Jesus already got the victory. We have it through him. So when you put and you establish yourself in the strength and the foundation of the Lord Jesus Christ, you cannot, I'll say it again, cannot be defeated. You have the victory. Once you trust God with the concerns, it's a wonderful place. It's peaceful and it's restful. When you know that you have a peace and you're at rest, that's when you know that you've taken those cares and you've given them to Jesus. Because he can handle it. You weren't made to handle them. But Jesus can handle them. Because when you do, your body will glow with health. Your very bones will vibrate with life. Hallelujah. Now, if you have a concern about finances, this may help you. Okay? Because when you take concerns about your finances, it will affect you physically. Right? It will affect you emotionally, and it will affect you spiritually. Proverbs 3, 9 and 10. We've read them several times now. Honor the Lord with your possessions and with the first fruits of all your increase, so your barns will be filled with plenty and your vats will overflow with new wine. Malachi chapter 3. Malachi chapter 3, last book of the Old Testament. Okay. Verses 8 through 10. And remember, this is God speaking through the prophet. So this is God speaking. Will a man rob God? Yet you have robbed me. But you say, in what way have we robbed you? In tithes and offerings. You are cursed with a curse, for you have robbed me. even this whole nation. Verse 10, bring all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house, and try me now in this, says the Lord of hosts, if I will not open for you the windows of heaven and pour out for you such blessing that there will not be room enough to receive it. Proverbs 3, verse 10, New Living Translation. Bring all the tithes into the storehouse so there will be enough food in my temple. If you do, says the Lord of heaven's armies, I will open the windows of heaven for you. I will pour out a blessing. Do you hear what he said? I will open the windows. I will pour out blessing. So great you won't have enough room to take it in. Try me. Put me to the test. For me, myself, it wasn't a test. It was an act of obedience. When I learned about tithing, I only left there and had one question. Roberta, I thank you for that teaching. That opened so many things up for me. But I went home and I says, what have I done wrong? And I searched all the scriptures because guess what? Satan was trying to tell me, she's not telling you the truth. They just want your money. Well, guess what? When I went home and I went through every scripture and let it expound into me, into my spirit, I said, oh boy. But I was still left with a question. Was it net or was it gross? I wasn't sure. And I remember when I asked Pastor, because he says, do you have a question about tithing? Yeah, I do, Pastor. I says, is it net or gross? He looked at me and said, that's easy. First fruits, my brother. He walked away. When he said that, it was like a light went on. Boom. And because of that answer, and then I put it forth in act of obedience to do what I was told to do in tithing. I can tell you what. I have been blessed financially since that day. I have been blessed. Not because of what I did, but because of how I was obedient to Him and what He has done for me. I have found out through the years, I cannot outgive my God. I cannot outgive Him. Every time that I would give away, more would come in. And I said, okay. So next time a situation with him, I was able to give again and maybe give more. And then guess what? I got more. And I would sit down and try to figure out my bills and say, okay, there shouldn't be enough money to pay the bills this month. I always had extra money. And that used to trouble me that I couldn't figure it out at first. And one day, Therese says, what are you doing? I says, Therese, we shouldn't have this money. She looked at me and she says, you trying to understand God. Stop it. You'll never understand how God works until you just let God be God. And can I also point something else out to you that I think is very important? In verse 9 it says, honor the Lord with your possessions and with the first fruits of all your increase. Let me say it again. First fruits of all your increase goes beyond your paycheck, folks. Goes beyond your paycheck. Think about that. You may come into a windfall of money. There's a reason for that. But you tithe off of that. And don't see if you don't get even more. Don't see if you're not blessed financially, far and above and beyond anything. Because I'm telling you, you cannot outgive God. And if you want more and you want to keep working, He'll keep you healthy enough to keep pouring concrete no matter how old you get. Because He does expect us to work for what we get. It's not for free. But He'll keep you healthy and strong. If you believe Him, then you'll be able to work. You'll be able to go through a liver transplant and go back to painting inside and outside homes, climbing ladders again. Amen? Honor God with everything you own. Give Him the first and the best. Your barns will burst. Your wine vats will brim over. I've been up at Bob's farm, and when he's trying to put up hay, and he's stuffing it in that barn, he's got to get every inch into that barn that he can, because he's going to need that. Well, God has blessed him so much that it's always full. Angela can attest that. But does Bob have to work to get it there? Yeah, he does. But they don't have to go buy it, because God will supply it. But Bob has to work, and he works hard at it. So does Angela, to maintain that farm. And that to what? Guess what? Their barns are full, and they're bursting. So have any of us completely arrived? No. But see, the more you place in His hands, the more He pours into your life and the more He takes you to new levels in your relationship with Him. You know, when you first became born again, see, it's like a baby's progress of growth. First, you just lay there. Seems like nothing's happening, but you are growing little by little. The more you trust and depend on Him. Then, with God's help, you learn to roll yourself over. It's a big deal. When a baby learns to roll over and you put them down, what do? They roll over. You straighten them back up, they roll over. The next thing you know, you're sitting up experiencing new blessings, like grace and favor. And then there's another growing period, more trusting and waiting on Him, and more blessings follow. And before you know it, you've learned to crawl around. And all the while, you continue to depend on God as your source, trusting Him and growing and getting stronger every day. Then one day you stand up and you begin learning to walk. And you start to take a few steps, but you stumble. Funny thing is, you don't worry about it. Because you know no matter what happens, you can trust Him and He will never let you down. Okay, Dean, you want to quote it or me? You can go ahead and quote it. Hebrews 13:5, Amplified Classic. Because God said it. God said, I will not in any way fail you, nor give you up, nor leave you without support. I will not in any degree leave you helpless, nor forsake, nor let you down. Relax my hold on you. Assuredly not. That's what God says. Before too long, though, walking is no big deal. It's effortless. And you realize that there is nothing God won't do for you or keep from you. Everything is possible with Him, first place in your life. I need to say that again. Everything is possible with Him, first place in your life. All He asks is that you only believe. All things are possible if you only believe. And He says, if you will trust me, there is still more for you. So much more. You've only just begun, He says. And then you begin to run. And you run. And you run, and you run, and you try to, but you can't imagine all the possibilities that He has opened up your world to. Expand your imaginations with Him. Quit limiting your imaginations and quit limiting God. God's capabilities are limitless. And He'll say to you, child, I love you. I want you to know and to realize you've only scratched the surface of what lies ahead for you. You ain't seen nothing yet. Oh, no, no, you ain't seen nothing yet. Oh, baby, you ain't seen nothing yet. That's why Jesus tells us, with God, all things are possible. What did the Apostle Paul say, though? He said, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. So I think we need to all say that. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. You're not weak because the greater one is in you. So, how many things are possible with Christ? All. There's that word, huh, Bob? All. And what things? Limitless things. They're limitless with Him. If you can only believe, God will take you places you've never even dreamed of. See, He's ready, willing, and able. He's able to deliver your best life now. Not in the future. Now. Today. The devil wants to tell you that's not true. But guess what? It's not. It is true. God wants the best for you right now. Because the thief, what? He cometh not but to steal, kill, and destroy. And Jesus come so that you could have life and have it more abundantly. And He didn't say in the future, now. Now. Thing is, are you ready to embrace that? Are you ready to walk into it? Walk into what's been prepared for you? Yeah. And inhabit that place. See, I want to encourage you to get to know God on a whole new level. Some of you have been in a walk for a long time, and so have I. But we got to take it to another level, to a greater and closer relationship with Him. Go that next step. See, realize that you can and are a friend of God. And friends take pleasure and delight in each other's company. They laugh together. They cry together. Guess what? They talk to each other. And they walk hand in hand when they spend time with one another. See, it's that time of intimacy that the unforced rhythms of grace become tangible and real, and trust in God becomes your pillow that you lay your head on every night, and your attire that you dress yourself in every day you awaken. And the what ifs, they move out of the extra room of your mind and are forgotten forever. Proverbs 18:24 says, friends come and friends go, but a true friend sticks by you like family. Jesus was known as a friend to sinners. I was there. That's me. That's me. We were all sinners. But He wanted to be our friend. And Jesus has promised, never will I leave you, never will I forsake you. Jesus is truly the friend who sticks closer than a brother, and blessed are those who have found Him as their friend. We have found Him as our friend. So we are blessed. See, it's like the two elderly women who were playing cards. One lady, she said to the other, she says, you know, I hate to ask you this. You know, I know we've been playing cards together for a very long time. But what's your name? The other lady looked at her really surprised and said, let me think about that for a minute. How soon do you need to know? God not only knows your name, He knows everything about you and still cares, calls you friend. He still wants to be involved in every detail of your life, if you will let Him. Still wants to and will always be your everything you will ever need. Let the what ifs worry about the what ifs, folks. Your focus is on Jesus, our Lord Jesus, because you know His name. He is the Lord ever present, Jehovah Shammah. The Lord our provider, Jehovah Jireh. The Lord our victor, Jehovah Nissi. The Lord our peace, Jehovah Shammah. The Lord our shepherd, Jehovah Raha. The Lord our righteousness, Jehovah Tsidkenu. The Lord our healer, Jehovah Rapha. The God who healeth thee. That's our Jesus. He knows your name. Now you know His name. Amen? Thank you.